College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Tullo. I am JP John Polish from the two-man power trip of wrestling. And of course, joining me as always is the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, former NWA Florida World Heavyweight Champion, of course, one of the greatest minds and bookers in professional wrestling history, Mr. Kevin Sullivan, the Taskmaster, the Games Master, the devil himself. How are you doing today, Kevin?
Doing great, John. How are you?
Doing very good. I can't complain. All this political stuff is getting to me a little bit because it's almost covering too much of the news. I'd like to focus on other things. I feel like it's too much politics out there. People are just nuts for it. Now, this is an interesting topic today because it's going to be all about the number one requested topic, which is so weird. There's been other topics that was definitely requested a lot, but I don't have no idea why, but this one was requested a lot by a lot of people. That is the Dungeon of Doom. Are you shocked by people actually requesting to want to hear about the Dungeon of Doom?
Yeah, and if you look back, I had a lot of heels hurt, and Rick was hurt or in contract negotiations. Enough heels, and I had to keep the spotlight on Hogan, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he was comfortable with Brutus and John, And John was a wonderful human being. Brutus is a good guy, but John was a wonderful human being. And Hulk was really comfortable with those two guys. So I said, okay, we got to put our finger in the dike right now. And, he had drawn money with John, and Brutus being his dear friend, it put him at ease too. I didn't have to put him in there with somebody he hadn't worked with, that he might not have been comfortable with, and that's where we went.
So the interesting thing that happens here is you hear a voice in the arena, Sullivan, Sullivan, come to me, Sullivan. And this guy, my son, Sullivan, keeps calling you. We eventually find out this mysterious voice is the master, the leader of the Dungeon Doom. The prince, King Curtis, right? I mean, is this just you had a relationship with him, wanted to bring him in, thought he'd be good for the role? How did he get into WCW at this point?
John, guys from my era, whether it be Dusty, whether it was Billy Graham, whether it was Ric Flair, the greatest talk of all times was King Curtis. And he was beloved in the wrestling business. And as Curtis said, I want one more trip on the Milky Way. And I actually brought the idea to Hogan, and Hogan loved it because Hogan and King were very, very close. King was a tremendous athlete. And Curtis went to school at UCLA, Berkeley, and was an orator. So that's where, there's a fabulous story. When Hawaii was a territory in the early 60s, they had a minute left to go. And this is in the early days of being able to follow ratings. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they had a minute left to go. The show was short. And Ed Francis sent Curtis out there, and Curtis counted backwards from 60 to 1, and the ratings went up.
Wow.
He was such a commanding presence. And, the other thing I suggest that our friends look at is King was a fabulous worker, whether he was a babyface or heel. He was dead-ass serious. But, he had gone to New York before. Didn't he manage Kamala?
Yep. I think at one point briefly. I know he was in WBF for a cup of coffee, so they say.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Hulk brought him in then. And, the great white Bengal tiger and all that stuff. Curtis really got Hulk over. And I think Hulk wanted to repay him a favor, and rightfully so.
At first, I was like, who is this guy, this master? And then I realized, oh, my God. I was like, okay, now we know who this is. And he's going to bring you on, going to christen you the Taskmaster. Is that a gimmick and a name that you're going to come up with, that you created?
That was Hogan's.
So how involved is he with creating Dungeon of Doom?
Well, he actually came up to me and said, what can you do for my people? So I understood my job,
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the other thing was, during this time, we had started to make the real turn to seriousness. And I still wanted to keep some of the WWF fans who had been used to the cartoon type characters.
Yep.
The main thing was, I wanted him to feel comfortable with me. Just think about this at the time. Could I have put him with Brian Pillman?
He would have been on the fence about it. Yeah.
No, it wouldn't have been on the fence. There was been a definite no.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, okay. True. Yeah.
And because, and this is no disrespect, his work was completely different than Hulk's. And at this period, you got to remember, John, when Hulk first came over, he got off that movie. Not movie, the TV show, Thunder in Paradise.
Yep.
Did you ever take a real good look at him when he first came in, how thin he was?
Very skinny. He literally looked like he may have lost like 50 pounds of muscle compared to his WWF days, where he was, what, 303 or whatever he was. I mean, he was gigantic in WWF.
Right. And the other thing was, where I caught it was when he started to do interviews, he was hunching over. I thought, and this is just me, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but I thought he lost confidence.
Hmm.
Well, he had walked over from the other side. Like you said, he lost 50 pounds of muscle. And I was really cautious about this. I'd never brought up Brian Pillman. The reason why I mentioned Brian Pillman, I mean, I had a great angle with Brian. Not only did when Brian passed, did we lose a great wrestler, we lost one of the greatest would have been minds of all times. And when we talked about feuds, John, we would have started and ended with Austin and Pillman, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yep.
We're talking about the gun angle. Right?
Yep.
How intense Brian was. And I think if I brought that up, Togan, again, I'm just surmising this, he would have said, what's he trying to do to me? You know, how would Hulk at that time work with Brian Pillman? Later on, when Brian got over, he wanted to work with Brian.
Right, of course.
But, of course, everybody did, right? But there wasn't a lot of guys I could throw at him at that time. So I came up, and again, like I said, Rick was hurt. I'm not sure if Barry had gotten hurt, but I was short heels. So I said, hey, my long-range goal is to turn this guy heel, which he was dead set against, and make him feel comfortable that I'm doing the right thing for him. So that's how the three faces of fear came.
So it's almost like you got to get uncomfortable. Wrestles Flair first. I mean, they had some great matches, him and Flair. I mean, yeah, really better than their WWF matches, because their WWF matches are, you know, good, but not great. The WCW matches were actually a lot better.
Can I tell you why I think that too? Mm-hmm. I think you hit on the head. Rick was more over in WCW than he really was in WWF. Would you concur?
Yes.
Yeah, and so, hey, when you're over in a place like Rick was and Hogan was, the matches are going to go tremendous, usually. And you feel a lot more comfortable when you know you're over Rick. And during this time, as you remember, Rick was making some of the greatest interviews in history.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we're basically a Southern company, and it was a little bit of a civil war, the North against the South. And I think, you know, if you listen to the tapes back then, and the production company did a hell of a job of browning out some of the boos from Hogan, because he's in Rick's, you know, home place.
Yep.
I think, and the other thing was, during this period, there were two of the biggest stars in the history of the wrestling business, and I think Rick said, I'm going to show there's no animosity. I'm going to go out and bust my ass and make Hulk look the best he's ever been in WCW, and I think he did that.
No doubt. They had some great matches, especially when he first came in 94. They had some really good matches. What is your relationship with Hulk here? Because, you know, on screen, obviously, you're the guy pushing the end of Hulkamania. You got to kill Hulkamania. What's your relationship like with him off camera, off screen? You guys have a good relationship?
Yeah, I knew him from the very beginning, you know, when he was in Tampa, starting to be a wrestler. And I had gone for a couple of shots when he was in Continental in Pensacola. And, he was, we had a great relationship.
Were you ever surprised at all that he became, you know, the Babe Ruth of wrestling? Did you foresee that? Were you surprised at all? They're like, wow, I can't believe, you know, this young punk I knew from Tampa is the biggest star in the business.
Well, if I said I thought it would happen, I'd be lying. But he was you know, once that Rocky movie hit, it changed the dynamic. And before that, because I believe at that time, wasn't he in AWA?
Yep.
He wrestled in, I think it was in Dothan, Alabama, as Sterling Golden, I think. I may be wrong, but he came off that Atlanta TV at one time as Sterling Golden. And he went to Pensacola area, and he drew a huge house, and I believe it was with Holly Race. And I mean, when I say a huge house, this is Dothan, Alabama. I think they had 20,000 people in outside stadium in Dothan, Alabama.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, because if you go back to AWA, you watch those shows when he beats Bockwinkel for the title and they reverse it. The crowd is, like, deflated. I mean, they're not happy. Like, they were literally go nuts that he won and then, like, deflated. So Vern almost a little bit too much of a stop and start with Hulk. He had something there, and he didn't realize it.
Well, I think it is that a lot of people don't know the history. You know, he had made a deal with Vern that he could work in New Japan, and Vern wanted, I think, 50% of his merchandise and a booking fee from New Japan. So I think it was one of those things where you give the guy the carrot and then take it back. And I thought, you know, I've thought about this a lot, John. And this is why I go back to Eddie Graham being such a smart guy. When the regional territories really started popping up was after the Chicago national TVs, right?
Yep.
I mean, they always had they always had regional territories, but back in those days, guys coming off the Chicago tape, when they were booked, like we'll say in Boston or New York, Dick the Bruiser, he would say, in a little circle, TV star. So you know, it was like when 17 started and Tommy Rich would go to, you know, other territories, they were coming to see Tommy. And what happened was all those guys that took over the regional territories were wrestlers. Bob Geigel in Kansas City and Pat O'Connor. Vern, Dick the Bruiser, the Sheik, one of my dearest friends, the Fields brothers in Continental, before it was Continental, it was Gulf Coast, Bill Watts when he went to Louisiana, all of them were wrestlers. The only one that followed Eddie's Patton is, Eddie was through wrestling full-time and made, you know, other wrestlers. Eddie didn't put himself on top unless he was a special referee or he was in a six-man with Mike or something. The rest of those guys couldn't let go and couldn't get the younger guys over. And they didn't want to. And it's if you look back what I'm saying to you, here you have Wilbur Snyder and Dick the Bruiser. They're the World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. Bruiser's the world champion in his part of the world. Vern's the world champion in his part of the world. The Sheik is the U.S. champion in his part of the world. And none of them put guys over. And they were, I mean, Vern looked old when he was 30.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's when I think really hurt Minneapolis. And I'm sure some people disagree with me, but as great a performer as Dick Bockwinkel was, and you hit it on the head when you said the fans were very disheartened with those finishes. They killed their own, you know, Nick was, like I said, a fabulous worker, but he was in his early 50s. It was time to give it to Hulk and time to let the young guys get over. And I think, you know, we saw that I'm not going to say without Hulk, Vince wouldn't have been able to do it, but it would have been a lot harder.
Yeah, no doubt.
So able to follow that path of the rock and wrestling connection and movie stars.
I think with Hulk, though, everybody else fell into their rightful spot. You know, Piper, number one heel. Orndorff, kind of like that number two heel. Like, I feel like everybody fell into the right spot with Hulk at the top. Right. Now, going back to WCW 95, so Beefcake at this point, when the Master is kind of coming into this, he's the Man with No Name. He went from the Butcher to Man with No Name. He's got a million different names. I feel like they're all like Hogan creations as far as the names. Who's is like, you know, the Man with No Name, the Butcher, the Booty Man, like all these crazy names. Is that all Hogan saying like that's what you want, or is Beefcake pushing that?
And it was, I'm sure Butcher, not Butcher, but Beefcake and Hogan got together and came up with the name. So let me tell you a side story about the Butcher. That cost WCW, I would think, I'm just surmising again, estimating, $100,000 because Abdullah the Butcher sued them.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. Okay. So technically, I guess he owns the name, obviously, Abdul the Butcher. So you couldn't use anything, Butcher, the Butcher, anything like that.
Using in lawsuits, I call it too similar. There's another word before too something and similar, is it?
Interesting.
I had the gym.
Didn't know that. That's interesting. So eventually he's going to become the Zodiac, which is perhaps the weirdest of all these gimmicks in the Dungeon of Doom. The yes, no, the face paint, the weird haircut. Whose idea? Is this you creating that?
No, that was Hulk and Brutus.
What did you think of it?
Well, you know, I like Brutus. You know, he always looked good. But they were so joined at the hip, you had to do what Hogan, he had creative control, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think if Brutus had taken one name, I mean, whatever they could come up with and get away with close to Beefcake, you know what I mean? Whether it be something else, they should have done that, because once they lost that lawsuit, they were, I'm sure they're getting pressure on the from the North Tower saying, hey, don't ever make a mistake like that again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because they went to court.
I just think the Zodiac, you know, the gimmick is so 80s and it's so campy. And they're supposed to be these horrifying gimmicks, but they're really come off corny. Did you kind of think that at the time, or you're not even like, whatever?
John, I had thought, and I thought I portrayed it fairly well, a serious heel. Mm-hmm. I knew what I was doing here. It was literally cutting my own throat. You know, but I knew, you know, the end justified the means. And I needed to turn them heel. Hey, everybody has a shelf life, and this country, we love to tear down heroes, but we love to see them rise from the ashes.
Mm-hmm.
So when he became a heel, they wanted to boo him, especially when he said, I fooled you. When I said, take your prayers and say your prayers and take your vitamins. But when he rose from the ashes as a heel, he became a bigger baby face. So I think that it was the right thing for me to do, and I think it was the right thing for the company.
With this group, so eventually Avalanche, who's John Tent, is then going to become the Shark. Who's creating that crazy, weird gimmick?
And I never understood how John became the Shark, you know what I mean? You know, I never understood that all of a sudden I was told that he's the Shark. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand the correlation to, you know, if you're a shark, you know, you've got to win, I think. You know what I mean? Right?
Well, is that Hogan again and Tenta making it up?
I'm not sure if John came up with the idea, but you got to realize, too, these guys were very loyal to Hulk, and rightfully so. that if Hulk came up with the name Cow Flap, they were going to say, yeah. And that's no disrespect for them, because it wasn't that they were just followers. They believed in Hulk because they had drawn huge money in New York with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and Hulk could be very persuasive because his track record in drawing money was second to none. It was not even close to the business, was it?
No, mm-mm, definitely not. Now, you also add in Kamala, who makes sense in the group when you think about it. I mean, he's just a weird kind of 80s style character, drew huge money with Hogan in 1987 leading up to and late 86 leading up to WrestleMania 3. So, I mean, you could see why Kamala's added to the group. Did you think he added to the group, or did you think this, okay, there's another 80s guy that's probably not going to work in 1995?
Well, I was on the fence of him not working in 1995, but Kamala had drawn big money too. The other thing is that people forget, we had signed a deal with New Japan. Kamala was a huge star in Japan.
Yep.
He earned me babyface in Japan. And I knew what James could do in the ring. Okay, with a character like Kamala, who had all that exposure in New York, wrestled Hogan, wrestled The Undertaker. What could you have done with him except be Kamala? Could he become Big James Harris again? I don't think so. He fit in to me where there's a willing suspension of disbelief with Kamala that the rest of us until later on didn't have. So, because he had that, he was Kamala, he kept his name, and he had all that exposure in New York. And it was good because the Japanese liked him.
Absolutely. Now, then you're going to add in Ming, who makes sense in a certain sense. Maybe that weird headdress thing that he had, that weird kind of looking, I don't even know what it was, lion or whatever the heck it was, that headdress. Was there, or dragon, I think it was, but very weird. I think Ming kind of fit the group, probably the best worker in the group, but that's for sure. What did you think about adding Ming to the fray?
First of all, I love Ming. I mean, one of the things I've always got, I told, Jacob Fatu, when I managed him one time a couple of years ago, I said, you're my fourth generation of Samoans I've worked with. One of the things about the Island Boys, they all know how to work, you know what I mean? And 98% of them look fabulous. And the other thing is, Ming added credibility to us. You know, you could look at the rest of us, but except for the mask, and then later on he dropped that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Time goes on, Ming would give you an A-plus match every time he went out there.
And then you kind of, he's like, I wouldn't say he's really a member of the group, but he's kind of a member of the group. Big Van Vader, because of his hatred of Hogan, you know, he's showing up and stuff. Did you think Vader fit the group at all?
Here's why I think Vader fit the group. If you could split the group down, it was me trying to slowly push Hogan into the reality-based wrestling. And with Vader and Ming and Kamala, because of all the exposure, it started to go a little bit more that way. And we know what the money Vader drew. And again, he was a welcome addition to our company because of his relationship with Japan. So to have him on our thing, meaning the dungeon, it helped, I think, add a little credibility. Not that it kept...
Right, I got you. As the dungeon is moving along, and you're in this, you know, literally in that dungeon, and it kind of looks like a, you know, dim, dark, bad horror movie, something like that. Who's creating that set and putting that together for the dungeon for you and the master?
The dungeon where we did all those vignettes, is that what you're talking about?
Yep.
There was a company in Tampa that did that. And I think maybe Hulk had an idea, and they kind of, you know, they storyboarded it. And we got to, we did them, I think, in 2 days. My memory serves me right. And it was in a warehouse where they built that stuff. These people actually, you know, they weren't fly by night. They did stuff for Hollywood, too.
Cool set, but maybe didn't fit with wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it necessarily fit with where WCW wanted to be headed in 1995.
No, it was not where we wanted to head. And, I mean, I'm sure Eric felt the same way. In fact, I know he felt the same way. But you got to remember this. People, I don't know if a lot of people know this. You know, Hogan was not on a WCW contract. He was on a personal service contract to Turner. There can't be any more power than that, right?
Right.
And wanting him to be comfortable, to me, was the most important thing. Because it was like, we're playing chess. I'm going to move my knight out. And he's going to come with his bishop. And I'm trying to get him to play the game. And he wins, that he feels confident that I can direct him the right way, that I'm not going to have him do anything that he's not comfortable with. And then when he turned heel, he was the biggest pop of the history of, biggest turn at that time in pro wrestling.
Yeah, no doubt about that. What's Bischoff's role creatively at this point? Because so many times he said that he had nothing to do with the Dungeon of Doom. He's kind of saying, he's like, there was Kevin Sullivan, you know, almost saying, like, I had nothing to do with Dungeon of Doom. What was his creative input at this time?
Probably he didn't have much, but it wasn't that. It was all my ideas, because I was given the ingredients to work with.
Yep.
Whether I did it right or wrong, I'm not sure, but I certainly couldn't put those guys, Discount Ming and Barbarian later and Vader, I certainly couldn't put those guys in matches with Dr. Death or Mike Rotunda or the Steiners. You know, they were directed. It was like I was doing a Basic Instinct movie along with Plan 9 from Outer Space in between the movie.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it was hard to do that balancing act. And it was hard for me, too, personally, because, as I said, I had been a pretty serious heel. And I knew I had to get him so comfortable to work outside of not working with friends. It took me a long time to gain his trust. And I think it took a lot of those guys a long time to gain his trust. So it was, again, I'm repeating myself, but it was the ends justified the means.
Yes, absolutely. Now, as far as some plugs, you can follow me on Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can follow me on Instagram at Two Man Power Trip as well. And you can follow Kevin on Instagram at Taskmaster Talks. Of course, you go to Kevin Sullivan's Pro Wrestling Tees store. Just go to ProWrestlingTees.com and type in Kevin Sullivan's. Got a great store there. And then, of course, Double Hell T-shirts. Go to Double Hell T-shirts. Type it in on Google. You'll find it. You'll see them. They're on Twitter as well. They got some awesome Kevin Sullivan shirts. They have a great line. It's like, hey, complete line of shirts for Kevin. So, right, Double Hell is the kind of the place to go for some great merchandise for you. Also, just want to mention, do you have any things going on as far as personal appearances? Anything coming up?
Not until the end of the month. I'm going to New York to do a virtual signing for a day, but I'll give you more information about that next week.
Awesome. Good stuff. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this week and every week right here on Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. See you next week, folks.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySups.com. That is LegacySupps.com and use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com and use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. Three, two, one. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. So join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Sullivan20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in the Shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxers as free gifts to give to you to keep all your goodies stored nice and comfortably to go along with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside that Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Signature Lawnmower 4.0. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2023 looks to be. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Sullivan20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that promo code Sullivan20. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped.